Welcome to another edition of the Armchair Directors. For each episode, we take a look at one of cinema's great directors and their essential films. This week, we are heading to Sweden and looking at Ingmar Bergman's classic, The Seventh Seal. On the show today to talk about The Seventh Seal is my fellow member of Dragon Digital Radio, Matt Trudeau. Matt, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Alex.
So I think first thing we should do is, for anybody who may be a bit confused by this, we probably should give us a little bit of background on why this took place and why you're on the show.
It's kind of a crossover episode, if you really think about it.
Yeah, it's sort of a crossover. So you mainly do the Benchwarmers. I'm just sort of helping out with that show.
You're a co-host.
Okay.
Give yourself some credit,
Alex.
I'll
give myself a little bit of credit. So we made a bet.
We did.
And so you sort of see me as like a cinema snob.
I definitely do.
You said you only like foreign films from the 1940s that are in black and white.
Yeah, or anything that's been critically acclaimed.
You can't enjoy
anything that's not, you know. Yeah. Like Beverly Hills Cop is the greatest movie of all time, in my opinion.
And on the other hand, you keep trying to push this movie down my throat that I just have no interest in seeing, that movie 43, which I have a feeling like one of these days I'm going to lose the bet and I will I've come to terms with it.
You know.
So we have this bet. I had to watch that movie, and the thing is, we do sports pick'ems for football.
Yes.
And whoever had the better record did. And you had a good record. What was it again?
I was proud of myself. So far, I mean, so the reason why we're doing this now is there's not enough.
Yeah, you've
games
been mathematically
left to pick.
Eliminated. Yeah.
So where we're currently sitting, I'm 134 and 103.
And I was like 180 and something.
You are 152 and 85. So you know, there's just not enough games left. And I think I did pretty darn well.
Yeah, you did good, but some of those I just kind of, I'll pick this team. I wasn't even trying, but yeah.
Oh, whoa. Rub it in, Alex.
Yeah, rub it in. But yeah, okay. So now that we've sort of television. So tell us, what did you think of the film? Because you told me a little bit. I was quite surprised about your opinion.
Well, I enjoyed it. I am not opposed to old movies. I'm not opposed to movies where I have to read subtitles. The hardest part was finding a version of the movie with the subtitles. Mm-hmm. But once that happened, so the movie was pretty good. You know, it being old, there were some cartoony issues with it, you know, but,
A bit of overacting, would you say?
A bit of overacting. Like, I loved the scene where, the guy, like, fake killed himself.
Yeah, that's
near
funny.
The tree. And I was just like, man, he has to be faking. And then it ended up that he was faking. So I was like, all right, cool. Like, you know, this man just wanted to just straight up stab himself in the chest. But yeah, there was a bit of, you know, or there was in the right before there, when they were in the, I guess, inn or whatever, the bar.
The tavern.
Yeah, the tavern where the dude, like, cut his face. There was, like, that weird, like, oh, he's put like, it up, and then all of a sudden the guy's
a bit awkward. They did that a lot back in the day.
Which, I mean, you know, I'm not going to hate on. But it was a better movie than I thought it would be. I honestly thought you were setting me up for
I was surprised that you liked it. I thought you were just going to be like, oh, God, this is awful.
Well, you know, like,
I thought you were going to hate it.
The guy who played the devil was
Death.
The guy who played Death was I thought they did a great job casting him.
Yeah.
He kind of looked like the Emperor
He looks creepy. And, like, you know, once again, like, he could look really cheesy with, you know, 1957's effects or something. But with that black cloak and that sort of makeup, he looks like he does look like Death. He looks terrifying.
Well, you know, first, and this is, I guess, something from watching New Age movies, I'm, like, looking for twists at all times.
Yeah.
So, like, I saw that, like, John's and Death kind of resembled each other, so I was like, is this like different timelines, and is just
like
John
like a Westworld
or something? You know what I'm saying? Exactly, like a lot like a Westworld. But that was not the case. I love John's. He was my favorite character.
Mm-hmm.
Probably my favorite scene was when the blacksmith got his wife back.
Oh yeah, that's hilarious.
And John's is in the background just being like, I bet you she's
going to
say...
Watch what she says here.
Yeah, watch what she says here.
And she says the exact what he said.
Now she's going to bring up his favorite meals, and she's like, I'll make you dumplings. And, you know, it's like...
I'll have to be surprised, too, because when I first... Because I chose this film just because first time I watched it, which was 2 years ago, I didn't even particularly care for it that much. And I just figured if I can, even if a cinema snob like me didn't like it, I figured you would hate it. But
yeah,
when I watched it the second time, I was like, oh, I actually like this a bit more.
I would have liked to see the chess game play out more.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that really, you know, looking back on it, it's like, I understand why they didn't do that, you mm-hmm. know, but that would be my only change.
Yeah, and, you know, you talked about it a lot already, but what I've noticed about the film the second time around, it's really funny. Like you said, with Jean's and
yes.
his sort of just cynicism about everything and making jokes or, you know, it's a lot of the other kind of funny elements. And, like, when I first watched it, I liked it, but like the second time, I was like, oh, wow, this is good. Like, this is really funny for, like, a kind of a movie about the Middle Ages and about all this philosophical
death,
stuff
yeah,
about death and religion.
And
but it was,
God and death, yeah. Yeah, it was a lot funnier than I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a kick out of it. I did. And you know, I like laughing. Comedy is probably my favorite drama other mm-hmm. than like suspense thrillers or whatever,
yeah, yeah.
But comedy definitely is my thing. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to make a great comedy movie. And this one wasn't necessarily,
yeah, it wasn't
a comedy.
A
it was
comedy,
definitely a drama.
Had a lot of funny elements
in did, it. It did. I don't think the website that I watched it on said they classified it as like sci-fi fantasy or something like that. Like,
no,
and
that
I was like,
work.
That's weird. That doesn't make sense at all. But I think it was pretty good. Trust me, I was expecting you to torture me.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel as tortured as I thought
yeah,
I would feel.
I'm now thinking of some movies that I think you would definitely hate. But
Easy Rider would have been that.
Yeah, but
you know,
I know, because then I would have to watch, and I hate that movie too. But so let's see. The Knight, Antonius Block. I'm going to see if you know who that actor is. Because I know for a fact you've seen him in something.
Yeah, I want to say he's...
I'll give you the name. It's Max von Sydow.
Yeah, that wouldn't have helped me, but I'm trying to think. So,
I know
he's in Thrones.
Yes,
he's the
three-eyed raven.
Yes, that's what he is. He's the three-eyed raven. I was about to say because I was trying to put together. It was either him, but yeah, he's definitely the three-eyed raven.
Yeah.
You can tell in his face and shout out to him because
mm-hmm. yeah, he's almost 90 because
wow.
like in that movie he was like in his late 20s, but. He was actually in The Force Awakens. He's the guy that gets killed at the very beginning of the movie.
Okay.
If you've seen Minority Report with Tom Cruise.
I have.
He's the bad guy in that movie.
Probably one of the only Tom Cruise movies I enjoyed.
And have you seen Shutter Island with Leo?
Yes.
He's like the doctor that sort of like likes to analyze DiCaprio. Not,
okay.
He's not Ben Kingsley, not that guy, but the older guy who's sort
yeah,
of in the background.
Yeah.
He's that. And what probably he's best known in America for besides... Seventh Seal is The Exorcist. Have you seen that?
Yes.
And he's the priest in there who comes in at the end. He goes, "The power of Christ compels you.
Yeah. Which is, you
so
know,
he's in this film was probably the breakout role because he's Swedish. And so this director is Ingmar Bergman. And so they've done a few films together. And I think this was sort of the film that made him a star. And he sort of developed his reputation in Sweden. And then he, like, The Exorcist made him a star here. And he's been doing stuff ever since, which, you know, the man's almost 90 and he's still doing stuff. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because you could, even while you're looking at him in The Seventh Seal, like, you could see, mm-hmm. like, he still looks the same.
He looks
when he
exactly
was
the same. Yeah.
Three-eyed Raven. Like,
mm-hmm.
And shout out to him, man, because that movie, that's 1957 is mm-hmm. The Seventh Seal.
Yeah.
And he.
He was like,
spoiler alert, died last season of
Game of Thrones,
which means,
yeah,
I mean, that's a long career. There's mm-hmm. a lot of actors out there that, like, you know, what happened to Helen Hunt? Well, I'm sorry. We were talking about this the other day. Like, it's just like there's actors that pop up and just disappear all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to
yeah.
be in The Seventh Seal in 57.
And then Game of Thrones in 2016.
And still have, you know, significant roles in mm-hmm. between there is very impressive.
And even older was Master Aemon, who died a couple seasons ago.
Yeah.
He was like, he's like 93 or 95.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, man.
So, we talked about Max von Sydow a little bit. Yeah, you like, you're, I know you called Johns, who's the squire, your homeboy.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he definitely brings a lot of that comic relief because he's just completely cynical about everything.
Yes.
And, you know, he sort of mocks everybody, and he even, like, when they make a point that he, whenever he sees like anything that's talking about religion, like the one priest that attempts to rape the one woman, he stops him. He's like, you're the one that sent us on this crusade and everything.
Yeah.
And so he always just has this bitterness about religion. But, he, you know, a lot of times he does it in this funny way that he's just so cynical about
everything. Which, I mean, you understand. You go on this crusade for years and years and years.
And you didn't accomplish anything.
And you didn't accomplish anything. But then you come back and the people that were holier than now that tell you, oh, go do this, are doing evil things. You know, it's like, I liked him. I thought... one thing that was really good about him is that, like you said, he just put, like, he was the middle in a way. And I loved it when he was in the tavern with the blacksmith, and the blacksmith was all crying. And he's giving him this advice, and he goes, man, I didn't think you cared. He was like, I don't care. Giving good advice.
Yeah,
you
know? It's not even good advice. I don't care.
Yeah, and then he was like, well, can I follow you? And he's like, yeah, but
don't
you
cry.
Cry, and if you do, we'll leave you. I just thought that was great, you know? And it's like, unfortunately, that guy made the dumb decision of joining the squad, and then he ended up, you know.
But even everybody else is accepting when death has finally come at their doorstep and they're about to die, even he's like, I'm going to protest. This is stupid. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So did you take anything out of, like, there's a lot of, like, religious commentary, and this is Ingmar Bergman, because, you know, a lot of his films have this theme of, you know, kind of this conflict of religion and faith and everything. So what did you think about the religious commentary? Because there's a lot of it in this movie.
I mean, it fit. You know, they were crusaders, so that fit. You know, one thing I hate about movies or TV shows is when they throw stuff in just to throw stuff in. You know, this one was definitely, this was the common theme of the whole movie, you know, and it's like, you can't cheat death. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that was directly represented when he knocks the chess pieces off the board.
He was like, you really think that's going to work?
And, you know, death by any means necessary was out when, you know, he was confessing to the dude.
That's a great scene because, you know, he's like, I got him beat. I got this move. He's not going to figure it out. And he goes, you think I'm not going to figure it out?
Yeah. So I think I'm not particularly religious myself, but I love religions, and I love good and evil and light and dark and duality of life, you know, and, that's one reason why I like this movie, is it was very much, it showed all sides.
I wouldn't say, like, some people might be saying, oh, this film was, like, pro-atheist or something. And I don't necessarily think that's what it was trying to do. Did you think it was trying to make it, like, say atheism is the only way because there is no God?
No, I didn't get that either. I think, for me, I took it as it presented both points. Mm-hmm. And it also showed how hypocritical we can be, or contradictory we can be.
Like, exactly, said, with, like, the horrible the priest or pope that sends him on the crusade, and you realize he's just a horrible human being.
Exactly. Which is, you know, and that's exactly what happens when you enter humans into the business. That's just the way it goes.
That's something that's still going on to this day.
Exactly.
Just look at something like Spotlight.
Or even, you see Spotlight, or take it out of movies, look at, you know, sports, and they have... referees are humans, you know, and people are always like, oh, that, you know, it's like when you put humans in the mix, you know, or they have that new McDonald's movie coming out where it's showing, like, the creator of McDonald's and the guy who took it from just being this little place to, like,
yeah, but he screwed some people over.
Exactly. You know, it's when humans, you know,
and it's sort of like, it's interesting that he chooses the time, like, after the Crusades. And during the Black Plague, which has killed so many people in Europe, sort of just, you know, at this time, you know, there's going to be a crisis of faith. Like, you're going to be like, why is this happening? Why is, you know, the man upstairs letting this happen?
Which, I mean, and there's two ways you can approach it. Is you could, well, there's a few different ways you can approach it. But the two, what I would say is probably main ways that you can approach it is being like, God's doing this to us because we're just terrible and we deserve this, which is... what a lot of people that were really faithful thought, or that, geez, man, this guy's evil.
This guy's a jerk.
Yeah, you know, I get it, though. Like, I mean, that's the way you can take it, you know, because that's still to this day. You know, when you talk to people about whether they're religious or not, you know, some people are like, well, it's a God's plan. You know, when they describe, like, AIDS and, like, starvation and, you know, all genocide, all this stuff.
And
that's God's plan. And then to people that are not necessarily believers, they're just like, yo, how could this dude do this? You know, or lady, I'm open to, you know, whatever. It's probably a mix of both at the end of the day.
But, another movie that's kind of like this with really, it actually just came out, was the new Martin Scorsese film, which is Silence. And in this movie, a couple of priests go over to Japan to sort of spread Christianity, and they're Jesuits. And at that time, Buddhism is the only religion in Japan.
Yeah.
And so the whole film was about them facing persecution. They just go through horrible stuff. And it's sort of this one priest who has sort of a crisis of faith. He's like, why is he doing this to his people, you know, letting all these horrible things happen? So a lot of, like that, like a lot of films, I really like, they do that. So they sort of like, just sort of highlight a crisis of faith, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, but I definitely did not take.
Yeah. Like it was atheist. Or
yeah.
Something.
Like if anything else, I mean, I thought they both were represented the way they mm-hmm. were represented, you know, yep. It's like.
So, okay. So, a little bit of, tell you about the bit about the director. So what did you think about the direction of Ingmar Bergman? So do you like the film, so what did you like, anything he particularly did as a director? Like, look, there was a good number of long takes. He let scenes play out and he
had
to block people, which is put people in the appropriate way in the frame. So if there anything that you took away from him as far as a director?
Well, I liked one scene that I really liked his directing in was, it was when I forget his name again, the guy, it was right after the tavern scene where they made dude dance like a bear.
Yeah, the performer.
Yeah, and that. They came to the field and they were having like the picnic with like the strawberries and milk.
Yeah.
And the main character,
Antonio Splock.
Thank you. Sure. Splock goes to play with the devil, and you see them just in the back.
Death.
I'm sorry. Death.
Get it right, Matt.
I'm sorry. So that they have him. He's sitting there playing chess with Death, and then you see, like in the distance, the whole squad still mm-hmm. at the picnic. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then it kind of picked up again later, where the last meeting with Death, when not the last meeting with Death, but the last chess meeting with Death, where
He sees him
and he's like, you know, she's like, he's sitting there by himself. And he goes, no, you know, I just think it's like he's off to the side, but he's not like,
yeah.
So all his interactions with Death were right by everybody else this whole time.
Yeah. Nobody sees him except the one guy who we've actually seen numerous times have these visions. Like he sees the Virgin Mary with a baby. I forget, he sees a couple of other things.
Yeah.
And nobody believes him.
Yeah.
But he has this sight. And at the very end, which he sees them all together doing the dance of death.
I really, really funny scene was when he saw the Virgin Mary and he came in and told his wife. And his wife was like, yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you're also the one that told me that the devil came and painted the wheels red, and you had red paint under your fingernails. And he was like, well, you wouldn't believe all my other stuff.
Yeah, like, I was like, that one time I was lying, but this time I'm right.
Yeah, which is like, you know.
It's like a boy who cried wolf or something.
Exactly, a great representation of that. So I liked the way he directed it. I think, mm-hmm. you know, my only complaints, I think, just go with the time, and there I can't really complain about it because that's just the way it was. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think he did anything poorly. You know, I think mm-hmm. he had a lot of scenes really flowed together. They were interesting, mm-hmm. and kind of like how old movies are. You're not going to get necessarily this like epic story, you know, mm-hmm. like it's just different, you know, but it was still really good. I was following along with it, so if mm-hmm. you can follow along with the movie from back in the day, you're pretty much winning.
Exactly. So I'll have to tell you about the other film, because this is probably the only film of his I think you've seen.
Yeah, you know, for me, I can tell you Scorsese films, I can tell you Tarantino films. Outside of that,
mm-hmm.
oh, I could tell you Chris Nolan films now, too.
Yeah.
But, like, outside of that, like, I'm not big on the directors.
Yeah, so I'll admit I'm not the hugest on his films. Besides this film, I've seen two others. I've seen a film called Wild Strawberries, and that film's sort of this. It's about an old professor who's a college professor, and he's like receiving this lifetime achievement award, and he goes on this road trip, and he sort of just reminisces about his life.
Okay.
And then another one is Autumn Sonata, and this stars Ingrid Bergman. They weren't married, but Ingrid Bergman, who you probably know from Casablanca.
Okay.
She was the main love interest in there, and she's one of the greatest actresses of all time. And that's sort of like she's this accomplished piano player, and she sort of spends a weekend with her daughter, and they're sort of estranged, and they have this fight at night. They spend this whole time at night, and they're just like fighting each other about like what happened in their lives. And he does like a lot of these like emotional dramas, so you kind of, like I always say, you kind of have to get yourself in the mood to watch it. You're not gonna like, hey, let's pop this thing in, but you kind of got you. But I kind of like his movies.
Is there anything going on with Wild Strawberries in his life? Because that's what they ate in the movie.
I noticed that because I saw Wild Strawberries first. I was like, oh, that's a little bit. That's probably just a little bit of a wink, wink. Hey, I did that movie.
Okay.
That one takes place in like the modern times in the 50s. So
could it be like a Tarantino thing where there's like two universes and like
smoking? Wait,
maybe he was so far ahead of his game. Yeah.
So smoking red apple cigarettes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us about your favorite films. I know you did a show with me on my music show a long time ago. It's at Beverly Hills Cop. So when it comes to Eddie Murphy movies that are cop movies from the 80s, I might say 48 Hours is a little bit better.
Okay.
Even that movie is incredibly racist.
Yeah. That's how the times were. That's how the times were, unfortunately. Movies that I love. I love... So just to list off a couple of my top movies of all time, I love Snatch. Mm-hmm. I love Beverly Hills Cop. I love The Departed. I like the movie Four Brothers. I thought that was a pretty
solid movie. You like The Departed, you should check out the Hong Kong film it was based on. It was called Infernal Affairs.
Okay.
It's really good, too.
Okay. Other movies included. For some odd reason, I'm not a huge Nicolas Cage fan, but he did this movie called Lord of War that I thought was pretty awesome.
Okay.
A lot of the stuff, I've never really was a superhero fan. I loved what Chris Nolan did with the Batman movies.
Mm-hmm, me too.
I just think actually making it a dark, not so cartoony movie just made it so much better. Mm-hmm. I like Shutter Island's a really good movie. Mm-hmm. But I like Denzel.
Oh, yeah.
I like Leo. Early, like Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
I like Will Ferrell movies. You know, again, I like, and this is going to kill you, and I'm sorry, but I like a good amount of Adam Sandler movies.
God.
Watched The Waterboy the other night, and I forgot kinda, how amazing
that's a guilty
that
pleasure
was.
Of mine, Waterboy, but. Anything recent, I just stay away from.
But, I mean, I get it. See, and this is just America. Hear me out real quick. My only thing with Alex and what I tell him is a movie can have entertainment value and be a, air quotation, good movie in your opinion without being a good movie in the real world.
I get what you're saying. And when it comes to stuff like we disagree on comedies, I think... when I think of fantastic comedies, I think of like Shaun of the Dead or Hot Fuzz.
Great movies.
And the reason why I like that because they have not only do they have funny dialogue, but like the editing and the action scenes are just hilarious.
Yeah.
I think like it's one thing in a comedy where you can just make jokes about this or jokes about that.
Yeah.
But like show me stuff, do some fun stuff with the camera or editing. That is like. To use everything, you know, don't just use this little bit.
I get that. I just, to me, you know, as long as it entertains me and I'm not like, oh man, I wasted time on that, you know, it can be a decent movie. I loved movie 43 and I know it's a bad movie. Like I know there's a reason why movie 43 is
one of the worst reviewed movies of all time.
But also at the same time, like, you know, it had some scenes where I was literally crying in. And then it had some scenes where you're like, oh, okay. But, I mean, it's a shock value. It's a shock jock approach to a movie.
Yeah, and that's I never, like, you know, when I, you know, like the Howard Sterns, who's a shock jock, you know, that it's just, it gets old. To me, it gets a little bit old after a while when it's just, oh, look at, let me talk about
you know, the male anatomy or the female anatomy. You're right.
But at the same time, so you can say that about, and I understand that's annoying about Howard Stern, but Howard Stern is also one heck of an interviewer.
Mm-hmm.
It gets overshined by the fact that he's a shock jock, so a lot of people don't give him, you know, the time of day to go listen to some of his interviews. So it's like, you know, there can be a gem in the poo.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Yes.
If that makes any sense to you.
Yes, sure. Recently, I mean, this movie is ranked as one of the greatest of all time. It was ranked by Empire Magazine as the 8th greatest film of world cinema. I think you can probably, like, any kind of list of greatest movies of all time, this film's going to be there. So last question I'll have for you about this movie is, do you agree with that?
Well, all right. So I kind of have a question before I answer your question.
Sure.
My question is, you know how people are like, Johnny Unitas is one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time,
mm-hmm.
but like his stats will never compare to like an Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
like
Tom Brady or something. Yeah. Yeah.
The way movies work is kind of the same, right? It's like you got to look at the technology and what they had to work with. So in that case, I've seen quite a lot of old movies.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And a lot of them I don't necessarily like. I like this one. So, yeah, it probably is one of the greatest movies of all time just off of that alone.
So saying, like, yes, it's a great movie, but you don't think it would, say, hold up it just wouldn't, like, hold up statistically against, like, a great movie from today?
Well, I just think we're programmed to like special effects, like modern stuff. Well, It's like
back in those days, because they didn't have all great special effects. Because if they did try to show something, it would look pretty cheesy.
Exactly.
I think they because of that, you had relied on story, and I think stories are stronger back in the day than they are today.
I agree. Because now, you know, you watch an action movie, especially like a Michael Bay movie, it's just boom, boom, boom. Yeah, exactly.
So tell us about the Benchwarmers Redemption, what you got coming up, and tell us about your Hippity Hop Hour.
Well, so the Benchwarmers Redemption is a show with Alex, myself, and Kelvin. We spend a lot of time talking about football. That's going to end soon because mm-hmm. football's running out. But we talk about not all sports, but a lot of sports. Mm-hmm. Basketball, football, a little bit of hockey, some MMA here and there, mm-hmm. you know. And we take it like Kelvin is, you know, a semi-pro football player. I played golf in high school. I played a bunch of sports growing up, but then, you know, mm-hmm. I played golf. You're an avid sports fan, so it's kind of like coming from the perspectives of me. I'm a guy that just sits on the couch and watch sports. Kelvin pretty much plays sports, you know, so it's like mm-hmm. just our takes on everything. It's called the Benchwarmers Redemption because we're on the bench and we're mad at all the people out on the field getting playtime. Yeah. So that's on Wednesday nights at 7.
I think so.
That's on Wednesday nights, and it's on Sunday evening.
Mm-hmm.
And then what was originally called the Hip Hop Hour, now it's the Hip Hop Jam Session. Hopefully it's changing to be You Don't Know Rap About Hip Hop. That's my next name that I'm trying to change it to. We're 100+ episodes in. Kelvin joins me on that show. And we talk a good bit about news in hip hop, a little bit of battle rap. We're both battle rap fans. And then we play, it's 2 hours of talk and hip hop music. So, okay. And you won't, and I might, you know, you might not like me for this, but you're not really going to hear the Drakes all too often. You're not going to hear a lot of the, like, what I deem cheesy hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
So
I spend more rhymes than a lazy Susan.
If Jay to the ROC had albums out that I could get, he'd have a song on every week. He would.
Representing Sunnyvale straight out, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that wraps up this episode of The Armchair Directors. We have been talking about Ingmar Bergman and his 1957 classic, The Seventh Seal. Don't forget, you can listen to The Armchair Directors every Thursday at 9:30 a.m., Sunday at 2:30 p.m., or anytime at dragondigitalradio.podbean.com under the category Armchair Directors. Matt, I want to thank you again for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
This was really good.
I mean, I'm actually kind of happy I lost that bet.
Okay, cool. Awesome. For The Armchair Directors, I'm your host, Alex Baker, saying love is the blackest of all plagues.